Good morning, and welcome to August. August is a month whose name originates from Augustus, the Roman emperor. I read somewhere that the etymology of that name means venerable, majestic, worthy of honor. I think that has to be totally wrong. I think somewhere deep in Latin, August means oppressive heat. It's so August today, they would say to one another, fanning themselves. A secondary meaning of August, deeper in the dictionary, I'm certain, must be something like, everything's changing or about to change. Are you ready for it? Of all the months, August is when things change. In August of this year, we're going through change, even at the church. Shovels are going in the ground, programs and schedules and locations will be different. Church change can be unsettling, especially if we're dealing with changes in other aspects of life. Sometimes there's change in church life too. At Passport Camp this week, the kids who went with us will remember that they put on skits every day with two characters named Ebb and Flo. The two of them would go up on stage to their own walk-up music that sung, sometimes you have to ebb, sometimes you have to flow. It's always in church life and its liturgies an ebb and a flow between what was and what will be, between traditions and the fresh movement of the Spirit. It's right there, here, in the architecture of stone and windows. In our reading this morning, the author of Ecclesiastes, called the teacher, ponders the August of his life. How everything is going to change and what it means. Throughout the book, he offers reflections that are honestly kind of grim if you're not ready for them. Vanity, vanity, he says. Everything is vanity. It's the word most repeated in the book. Hevel is the word. It means something like wood smoke. Everything is like smoke. It isn't permanent. It's not going to last. You can't take it with you. Ecclesiastes is ancient wisdom for a very modern realization. Life isn't permanent. You can't take it with you. Everything changes. I've always thought of the teacher of Ecclesiastes like an old man on his front porch, smoking his pipe, looking out over his fields, sighing. Nothing is as it was. He's nostalgic for people that he's lost along the way, a little despondent that things he spent his whole life working for, he's going to lose anyway when he dies. I thought of it as a book from and for elders. Recently, though, I learned that Ecclesiastes is the favorite book of some teenagers, too. And it makes sense. The angstiness, the superindulgent self-reflection, the questions about and perhaps some despair about the meaning of life. All this, it turns out, are just as heavy on the very young as the very old. Vanity, vanity, everything's vanity. What's the point anyway? All the things they told me were important, those things really aren't that important anyway. It's grim wisdom. Unless you receive it as I think it's supposed to be offered, as freedom from the illusion. And once you have eyes to see life in seasons and all existence in flow, you're beginning to be set free to seek what's most important. To say, everything is worthless like wood smoke is more than a bit of hyperbole. But to say everything changes like wood smoke rising into the air, well, now that's just true. Everything changes. And a whole lot of life is about how we deal with and respond to that which is changing in the seasons, in our bodies, in our relationships. At Dayspring, experiencing all of that, we learned early on to hold it all lightly. That's what we would say, hold it lightly. Hold it lightly so we can stay bound to that which is most important. If we squeeze the church, we choke the life out of the thing we love. And so we learn to hold it with strong arms, but with gentle hands and with openness to one another and to the Spirit. Tonight, we're breaking ground on construction in all those children's buildings area, which is very exciting to finally be ready to go after all these years of preparation. But it's been a lot of change. In the last few weeks, especially last Saturday, we cleared out over half the meeting space that we have as a church. Offices, storage areas, classrooms, staff had to relocate. Our main office is now a rolling desk parked in the kitchen. Say a prayer for Rebecca, won't you? All the staff had to relocate, except for me. I have the office's old mini fridge and microwave in the corner of my office now. Not all change is bad. But soon dirt is going to be moved, walls are going to come down, and the new walls will start to rise. Not all change is bad, even if it comes with a cost. And the physical changes we've already begun to see compel other changes in the rhythm of the church's life and our programs and meetings and plans for this coming year. We have to hold them lightly, too, as we hold them up to God at every turn. Sunday school, for example, is the biggest single part of our rhythm to hold lightly. Since, as we've said, most of our meeting spaces won't be available to us. And we realized as we were planning for this, we realized early on that we simply had to adapt to the reality. And so instead of meeting in rooms at 9:45 on Sundays, instead we'll go to one another's homes and be in groups that can be the seeds of sweet friendships. This is change. Not having Sunday school the way it's been done means we'll lose something precious this year. All those wonderful classes for all ages on Sunday mornings and the relationship between the teachers and the students of all ages. We gain something too. We gain a season of relationship and hospitality given and received and the possibility of new friendships. Friendship. Precious gift. As beloved as this church and campus is, the life of Dayspring was never to be about the programs or the buildings. It's about the life that happens here in friendship with one another and with God. This happens in the programs and buildings and trees and open spaces and in living rooms and kitchens and songs and silence and in trust that in changes that come, God is transforming us. We hold it lightly, but God holds us tightly. It means that this August for us is a moment to pause and consider how we deal with changes. From Ecclesiastes and from living for very long, we learn change is always happening in us and around us, and there's little we can do to create an existence that is static and doesn't change. How you feel about that says something about your personality. Some people have a personality that embraces and is enticed by crossing thresholds that begin new chapters in life. They love it. And for other people, they want things to stay as they are, even if the things aren't so great. It's better than changing anything. Change can be exciting. Change can be hard. For most people, it's both at the same time. Every increment of change holds something, some promise for the future, but it also, every increment of change is a little death. For there to be change, something that was before is no longer. Something good may take its place, but there's also the loss of what was. As the teacher of Ecclesiastes and life experience make clear, change is a fundamental essence of existence. All creation is moving and flowing. Everything that is moves toward life and death and life again. Life flows through entities one to another, like water in a river, like carbon in the soil, like air and relationships and bodies. Creation names an existence that is always in motion. But it's one thing to have a thermodynamic theology of a creation in motion. It's another thing to face changes happening in your own life that aren't just flowing like a gentle breeze through the leaves of the cottonwood, but rattle you like an earthquake. Some changes are bigger than others, and others, some of them are bigger than how classes and groups operate at a church for a little while. Everyone you meet is either moving away from a major change in their life, or moving toward a major change in their life, or is in the middle of one right now. A little grace for one another is helpful. In these days, it seems like a lot is unstable in the world today. It's hard to keep up, and it's hard to keep up and keep your sanity, not to mention your peace. And also, besides all that, it's August. The month of August is the month of change. August is the month of oppressive, relentless heat, but it's also the month of any time on the calendar when there's change, and some of them are big ones. Mommies and daddies are soon going to fit an oversized backpack onto the thin shoulders of a little bit and watch him skip into his first preschool class or shyly shuffle into there. And as he does on day one, it's the end of a season of life. And it's the beginning of another for the mommies and the daddies and the little one. Change is exciting and it's tender. Across the nation and across town, moms and dads are going to help load overstuffed cars with lamps and bedspreads and watch that little dude, now grown up, drive away from home to live in her first dorm room. And that's a big change too. The end of a season of life and the beginning of another for the moms and dads and the big kids. Change is exciting and it's kind of sad. Either way, it's coming. As we go through life, we see change is inescapable, even when we're not the one changing. Sometimes it's sad. Every change is a little death. A trusted colleague is left for another company. And now the office seems a little less interesting. The work a little less inspiring than it did before. With a sigh on a Monday morning, there's change. And a little death. Go to church long enough and some friends won't be there anymore at the end of a summer, a semester, or the end of a lifetime. It can take a little wind out of the sails. Go to church long enough and you'll look around a room full and still wonder, where did everyone I know go? That's the price of friendship. On a Sunday, there's change and a little death. Your body slows and another new pain flares up. And the doc says you have to go on a daily med and you know this is just the beginning. It can be discouraging, each change, a little death. At every turn, we need one another on this pilgrimage of life as we seek to stand and find our footing on the solid rock of Christ. It's not all bad, of course. Let's not be too grim, please. We need one another in the joys, too, to share them, expand them, move to a new city to begin a new job, walk down the aisle and walk back down the aisle hand in hand with your new spouse. You leave something behind, but you look ahead and see the potential for new friends and new opportunities and experiences. It's often in the heat of August that there are goodbyes and hellos and a prayer that God knows divine plans for us. And those plans are good. The wisdom of Ecclesiastes, which we might find a little grim, is answered by the spirituality of Colossians for a time of change. When we face change, when we deal with uncertainty, when we seek the meaning of life in all things, we who have been raised with Christ seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We set our minds on the things above. Just as wood smoke rises, so do our eyes, so do our hearts. To be raised with Christ is a baptism and resurrection image, a strong and sure reminder that after death, there comes new life in Christ. Through the little deaths we experience, through each change that comes in life, and the final change as this life comes to an end. In Christ, our hope is life from death. And you are the living embodiment of this for all the world. You who are raised with Christ, you who are raised with Christ are seekers for Christ in all things, in the vanities and the despairs and the changes and the uncertainties. We hold one another. We hold what is precious. We cling to Christ. We share our hope with the world. What this means is that our fullness of life is found in Christ, who is all in all, no matter what changes. In Him, all things hold together. Even when it seems everything's being blown apart, whether by accidents or circumstances of life, or by powers and principalities, or by choices for change that we accept and adopt. We don't just endure. We don't just persevere. We seek Christ in all things. And so we ask with open hands, a prayer like this. O God of August, what do you desire to be made new in me through this change? I turn my eyes upward and my heart to you. Set my feet on the solid rock. Open my hands to all that I must hold lightly, that my hands and arms and heart and spirit may be fully open to your grace and to your people whom you love. This is our prayer for August, our prayer for all days, even this day. Amen.